We're in a series right now just called Follow Me. Follow Me. Those are the words that Jesus used to call his disciples. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, we first have to answer that call, follow me, with a total commitment. We got to be willing, as Jesus says, to forsake all that we have if we're really going to be a disciple. You can't follow Jesus with a half-hearted commitment. It takes our all. And then last week, I shared a message with you about the call to be with him. When he called disciples, he was calling them to be with him. And so it is for us that we have been called to a life-changing relationship with the Lord. And the more that we are with him, the more that we learn his ways. But to be a disciple is to learn from him so that we can learn to be like him. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you." He says that we are to make disciples. This is our commission, make disciples. Disciples are made. They're not born. They have to be made. And then he tells us how. He says, teaching them. We teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. I want you to know that that's a process. That's not something that happens overnight. And for us who are, all of us, are his disciples, we're learning, amen? But we are ourselves. It is a learning process that we as a disciple of the Lord, we're being taught. We're still learning. We're still growing. Hadn't any of us arrived yet? But if we go by what is recorded in Scripture, the one thing that Jesus did more than anything else is he taught. Oh, he did so many miracles and healings and, you know, great works. But the one thing that he did every day, everywhere he went, is he taught the people. I could offer you 15 or 20 scriptural references of that. I'm just going to give you one this morning, at least addressing that particular thing. Mark 14, 49 in the NIV, Jesus said, "Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts." How often was he in the temple courts teaching? Every day. Jesus was teaching all of the time. Why? Because he was changing people's lives by changing the way they think. He was speaking spiritual truths that would have an impact on their life. And so he taught the people all the time. In the great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus says over and over, "You have heard it said..." And then he would say, "But I say to you." You see, he was changing the way that they thought. He was taking them to a deeper place spiritually. He was opening their eyes to see things. They've been taught this before. You've heard it said. And then he would say, "But I say to you." Why? He's changing their lives by teaching them. And you see, part of us making disciples, we have to teach people. But let's get it first for ourselves. If we're going to really be a disciple, we have to learn from Jesus. We have to be taught by him. And if we want that, well, let's just put it this way. We need to have a desire to learn. We need to be hungry that we want to learn. See, no matter whether you are a new Christian or you've been serving the Lord for many, many years, we should still have a hunger and a desire to learn more from our Savior. You know, Jesus taught the disciples all the time, and there were those that were there, though, so often, you see this in the Scripture, that when he was teaching, there were people there that, well, they weren't there to learn. Some of them were just there to observe. Some of them were there to criticize or find fault or to question. And did you know it's still that way in church today? But then there were his disciples. They wanted to learn. We want to be one of those that wants to learn. In Matthew 5, 1 and 2, it says, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. See, his disciples came to him, and he taught them. And, you know, just think about this. When Jesus walked this earth, they understood, you see, it was a common thing. They understood what a disciple was. All of the great teachers of the day had disciples, students, who followed them to learn a way of life. It's not about just learning information. They followed their teacher to learn a way of life. And we need to understand that that's what we want from Jesus, not just some religious information, but we want to learn a way of life. In John 13, 13, Jesus says, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. He's both. He is our teacher and our Lord. And if we're his students, then we want to learn from him. We want to be like him. A lot of believers today, I think, have become really lazy about learning spiritual truth. It's just this attitude in our culture, you know, we don't like the sound of, well, I got to learn something. We just want God to just, you know, if I need to be changed, well, God, you just do it. But I want you to understand that, you see, so much of the time, it is a learning process. As we learn, we change and we grow. And so you can't just skip that. And we need to realize that the influence of our culture, this laziness, we just can't allow that to have a part in our heart. No, we need to be careful that we always are passionate about the things of God. And we want to learn as much as we can. You know, a lot of times in school, you learn just enough to get by. Anybody besides me? I mean, you just learn just enough to get by. And you see, that's kind of the way a lot of Christians are today. They learn just enough to get by. And that's what they get. Just enough to get by. They got a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy, a little bit of victory in their life. I want you to know, we need to be hungry to learn all that he has for us so we can really live in the abundant life that Jesus has called us to. Not just a little bit of it, but embrace it, all of it. You know, as a kid, I hated school. Now, you parents, please forgive me for being a bad example to your children and young people. But I hated school. In fact, these kids nowadays, they all say, oh, I love school. I'm like, you're so weird. I don't even understand that because, I mean, it wasn't that school was so bad. It was just that I hated it because I wanted to be outside. I wanted to be outside throwing a football or climbing a tree or fishing or just running through the woods. Just not here. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like school, and I wasn't really a good student because of that, right? You're not going to be a good student if you don't like it. But when it comes to spiritual things, we can't afford to be that way. No, we have to have that desire to learn because that's how we grow. That's how we become more like the Lord. And I want to say this again. We're not talking about just education. We're not talking about just information. There's a lot of educated people that are very religious, but it hasn't really changed their heart and their life. Paul warns us about that, the people that acquire a head knowledge but not a heart knowledge. In 2 Timothy 3:7, he says, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, there's some people, I mean, they get a degree in the Bible and they know Greek and Hebrew and they're real intelligent. They know lots of stuff about it. But they're not like Jesus and they're not learning from the master. It's just information to them. And they even like to argue about it. But it's not life-changing to them. You see, what I'm talking about this morning when I say learn from Jesus, I'm not talking about just information. I'm talking about learning something that will change your life. Learning how to really live the way that He wants us to. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, anybody know what that passage is? I love y'all. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Y'all need to read your Bibles. You need to study your Bibles. And you need to know these things. If not for yourself, or so you can share with somebody else. Let me tell you what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. You need to know it so you can teach it to your children. Here we go. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Now you know it, right, some of you? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And oh, how we love that promise, the promise of having our heavy burden lifted. I mean, when life is hard and we've been just going through it, He'll lift you that are heavy laden. He'll lift that off of you. And then He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How wonderful that is. We want the promise, but they just kind of pass right over the key. There's a condition. He says, learn from me. Learn from me. You got to learn from Jesus. You want to be free of the burdens? You want your yoke to be easy? You got to learn from Jesus how that works. Learn from me. Oh, no, no, Pastor. We're just going to claim that promise. You got to learn from Jesus. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Now, I'm not going to take the time this morning to teach the depths of that, but I just want you to understand. He says, for I am gentle and lowly. He's talking about character. He's talking about demeanor. And you see, this is what Jesus teaches us. He teaches us a different way to live, a different way to be. Gentle and lowly. You see, that's how spiritual truth from Jesus changes us. It's not just information. It changes our character. It changes the way that we are. But we become a disciple of Jesus when we really learn to live this life. And, you know, we learn to live by faith. We learn to have real peace. We learn to have joy. We learn how to minister to others and help other people. We learn how to live life to the fullest. And we ought to be excited about that. I mean, Jesus says in John 6:63, he says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Listen, that is not just religious teaching. You see, his words are not just information. He says it's spirit and life. It's something supernatural when the Holy Spirit takes the words of Jesus and they become alive to you. It is spirit and it is life. And I got to tell you, every preacher and teacher and believer, when we speak to other people, that ought to be the desire of our heart, that we want it to be spirit and life, not just words we're saying, but something that will have an impact on the hearts of people. Spirit and life. I believe in God for that. The words that I speak are spirit and life. This current church culture, it just seems to be so much about entertainment instead of real truth. I'm just gonna say it. We don't need more religious entertainment. That doesn't change lives. What we need is spiritual truth. We need to be learning and growing, not just being entertained. Good grief. You can stay home and watch TV and be entertained. There's all kinds of ways you can be entertained, even Christian entertainment. But what we need is spiritual truth that changes us, that shows us how we need to live and makes us a little bit more like the Savior. I got a long ways to go, but you can't imagine how far I've come. Anybody else like that? Yeah. You know, when the resurrection happens, the Bible says we will all be changed in the blink of an eye. It says that when we see him, we will be like him. See, we're going to be changed in a moment, just a blink of an eye. We're going to be like the Savior. But until then, we're supposed to keep learning. We're supposed to keep growing. And how do you do that? We got to have the help of the Holy Spirit teaching us, showing us how to live and to be who he wants us to be. See, we learn from Jesus through the person of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week, but it's important. I want to go over this again. John 14, 16 through 18. Jesus says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Never going to leave. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you, talking about himself, and he will be in you. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He is talking about that he's not going to leave them alone. He's going to come to them in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you see, Jesus is still teaching through the person of the Holy Spirit. Every believer can learn from Jesus because the Holy Spirit is with all of us and he will not leave us. But he teaches us how to walk in truth, how to minister to people, how to be like Jesus. In John 14, 26, it says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. All things. There's not anything that he doesn't know. And he can teach you all things. That just opens up a whole world of the things that the Holy Spirit can reveal to us, to show us. And there are so many things that cannot be understood with a carnal mind, but it takes the help of the Holy Spirit for us to see real truth and truly be changed. Now, I want to mention this one more time. How is Jesus teaching us? How is he with us? Through the person of the Holy Spirit, he is just as real as he was when he walked this earth in a physical body. He is with us to teach us and to help us. He is our helper. You know, most of us, we tend to learn some things the hard way. We call it the school of hard knocks. And I don't know if you've been there. I've been there many, many times, but here's the thing, you know, we ought to learn better. There's a better way to learn than the school of hard knocks. You don't have to go to the school of hard knocks. In fact, I don't really think that's a good way to learn. That's like saying, well, you know, getting the tar beat out of you is a good way to learn. No, it's not. There's got to be a better way. Now, one of the things that I hear in the world, in our culture today, all the time, but also I've been hearing preachers and teachers say it. Experience is the best teacher. No, it's not. Experience is a horrible teacher. A lot of people been through all kinds of things and they learned all the wrong things. They're on Jerry Springer or whatever else it is nowadays. I know I'm a little behind the times, right? But I'm just saying, you know, they got all kinds of problems and they've had a lot of experience. But I can tell you the truth that sometimes you take two 50-year-olds and they've had similar experiences, but one of them became resentful and bitter and angry. And they spread what they got. And another one learn to forgive and learn to have peace and joy and be happy and they want to help people. Experience is not the best teacher. I know it's just kind of mean and harsh and narrow-minded maybe, but sometimes the truth is narrow, right? Narrow is, so I'm going to say it. That is a dumb thing to say, that experience is the best teacher. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Hands down, no comparison. And you can learn before you go through so much trouble. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we don't go through stuff even when the Holy Spirit is leading us. But what I'm saying is that so much of the time, people learn the hard way if they learn. But, oh, the Holy Spirit, He can show you things. He can teach you things. Now, I think we need to realize that part of the problem with saying experience is the best teacher is just that so often people learn the wrong things. But one of the reasons that I didn't really like school much was you learn stuff that I didn't feel like I was ever going to use. Y'all been there, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff as you're learning it even, you know, even if you do learn it, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to learn this for this test. And then a week later, you know, you forget it just as fast as you learn it, faster maybe. But you know what I'm saying? You just learned it for the test. It's not really something that you learned because, man, I'm going to need this in life. Well, it's kind of amazing that, you know, you find out that some of those things you do end up needing in life. I mean, like, you don't need to learn math unless you're going to have a checkbook, you know. I mean, or like me, you know, I hated grammar. Absolutely hated it. Didn't understand it. Didn't like all those weird terms they used. Now, that's okay. You know, as long as you don't have to write a paper or get up in front of people and speak publicly. There's the problem. There's your trouble, right? But some of those things we end up needing later in life. But here's the thing. You see, when it comes to spiritual truth, you always are going to need it. You might not need it today, but there will come a day when you need that spiritual truth. And a lot of people are just out to lunch. I mean, they're not learning. They're not ready. When that day comes, there was truth. They could have learned, and they're not ready. So we need to be hungry. We need to be learners. You know, when I went to Bible college, I wanted to learn to study the Word of God and be able to understand it for myself. And I wanted to learn it. Are you hearing me? This was different. You see, this was something I really, really wanted to learn. I was hungry to learn it. And so part of that equation was is I wanted to study the Bible, the New Testament, and the original text in the Greek. And so I took a Greek class. I'm going to learn to be able to read the Bible in Greek. And so class starts first day, and he's up there talking about using all of these grammar terms. I went up to him after class. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, you need to go over to the library and get you an introductory to grammar. I got me introductory to grammar. I learned some grammar. But I'm just telling you that all of the things that we learn from Jesus, the spiritual truths we learn from Jesus, we're always going to end up needing that. You know, when you go to college, a lot of times you pay $150 for these textbooks. And as soon as you finish a class, you sell them, get rid of them, hopefully. Now, some of us, we think, oh, no, you know, I actually liked this book, and we put it on a shelf. Like, someday we're going to look at it, and 10 years later, you didn't. Just go ahead and sell it. But I just want you to understand, this textbook, this is the textbook for life. This is a textbook that you never want to just put on a shelf or get rid of. This is a textbook that you have just begun, that you keep studying, you keep learning, you keep growing, because it will show you how to live. It'll show you how to do marriage right, how to have a good marriage. Lots of books on marriage. Now, don't misunderstand me, all right? You know, well, we gotta get some help for our marriage. Yeah, I understand that. Here's where you start. The Bible, the Word of God. In fact, I just remembered. Listen, if you're struggling with your home, with your marriage, or your kids, there is a series out in the foyer. There's a couple of them on CD, but there's also these little cards with a QR code, and you can get that little QR code, and it'll take you to this series online called the Blessed Home Series. And you go through that, and you might learn something that might change you and get your marriage headed the right direction. It's amazing to me, though, how parents, they'll read all kinds of books about how to parent and how to raise kids and all this stuff. Listen, that's all fine, but you need to start with this book. This is the ultimate authority on how to raise children. It's the Word of God. Oh, so many books about how to handle finances. This is where you start. You start with the Word of God. You see, so many Christians have this all backwards. They learn from the world, and then maybe someday they'll get a little truth from the Scripture that might change them. No, we need to go to the Word of God and begin. That's the starting place for understanding how to do life. It's the Word of God. If we don't learn spiritual truth, we set ourselves up for trouble. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Anybody else think that sounds a little hard? Do y'all believe that? It's truth. It's God's word. "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Now that ought to be enough for all of us to want to learn. To keep ourselves, to keep our family from unnecessary trouble and destruction. And that part of the verse gets quoted a lot. The rest of the verse doesn't get quoted because it's even harder and people don't like to hear it. But I just want to remind you, I don't write this stuff. "Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Wow. That doesn't mean that he has no recollection of your children. It means that they will not be under the wing of his blessing and protection. "Because you have forgotten my law, I will forget your children." The average Christian in America, most Christians, the majority of Christians in America, don't know the Ten Commandments. They want them posted at the courthouse so that they can see them whenever they have to go to court. But they don't know them. Come on. And don't start going through them in your head right now, seeing if you know them all. You do that later. And this isn't just about the Big Ten, all right? You see, we need to know what the Scripture says. You need to be able to list out the fruit of the Spirit, what you're supposed to see in your life every day. See, we need to get the Word of God and learn from it and be changed by it. And there's so little of this happening in the church world today. We need to be hungry to learn and to grow and not be content to just stay where we are. Get rid of that. In fact, I'm going to use that dirty word, repent. Repent of this lazy Christianity and be students of the Word of God. See, that's what disciples are. They're students. They're learners of a way of life. And so much of what we learn is from the Word of God. And just remember, spiritual ignorance is not bliss. He said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." We just need to dig into the Word of God and allow it to speak to us and change us. Get rid of that old negative attitude about learning. Get this down where I want to learn. I mean, if you're one of those, you're like, "I don't want to have to learn anything. God can just change me." Well, he can. But most of the time, He changes us as we learn and we grow. And I got to tell you, there's a whole lot of people that just say, well, God changed me. God changed me. God changed me. Been there. I know all about it. I also know that most of the time, real change comes in our life as a disciple as we learn truth and we apply it in our life. But we got to get rid of that negative attitude and be hungry to learn, ready to learn. His words are spirit and life. They're powerful. They're life-changing. And when we learn them, it brings protection and blessing on our life. Proverbs 15:32 says, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul. See, if we don't love instruction and learning, we're doing harm to our own soul. Let me give you a real obvious example from the scripture. You know, the Lord Jesus tells us very plainly that when we are wronged, that we have to forgive. But if you don't receive that, if you don't learn from that, and you hang on to that wrong that was done to you, it's going to begin to impact your soul. It's going to have an effect on you. It's going to hurt you. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Is there an area of life that you feel like you could do better? The heart of the wise acquires knowledge. You see, that's an area where you need to seek to learn. Don't just say, well, I'll never have victory in that area. I'll never do any good in that. No, you can learn and do better. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A few years ago, Carmen and I had a couple come to us, and they said, oh, we need some counseling. And you know, we said, well, you know, we don't technically do marriage counseling, but we can certainly talk with y'all and share scripture with you and pray with you. And so we talked with them for a little while and figured out they didn't really want any counseling or advice of any kind. They certainly didn't want any scripture. What they wanted is they wanted to tell us everything that each other had done to each other, and they wanted us to pick a side and tell them which one was right. But we shared scripture and we told them the truth. We tried to help them. A month or two later, they're divorced. I just want you to understand, you see, if we really want to learn, we can learn and grow and do better in those areas of our life where we haven't been able to get victory. But whatever you might be struggling with, you can learn. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend. I know some of your parents tell your kids not to say that word. I didn't write it. But get this, correction is a form of learning. I mean, when you're thinking wrong, when you're talking wrong, when you're doing wrong, and you receive correction, then you start thinking right, you start talking right, and you start doing right, and you get a different outcome. That's why we want to learn. We want to be eager. We want to be ready to receive. Now, you know, when you're all anxious and worried about something, I don't know about you, but sometimes it can almost be kind of irritating when somebody says, oh, be anxious for nothing. You know, you just need to stop worrying. Yeah, okay, that helps a lot. Thanks. But you see, the truth is, if we really allow that verse of scripture to speak to us, if we let it get down on the inside of us, if we'll take that correction, listen, Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Wow, what a wonderful truth from the Word of God. We don't have to live anxious and upset. We can come to Him in prayer with thanksgiving, and that peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. What a wonderful truth from the scripture. But we need to get this, that we like learning. I mean, I like it when I get free from all that worry and stress. I like it when I see the blessing of God in some area of my life that I hadn't really had before. I like learning. I'm trying to get you on board with me. I like learning. I want you to say it if you can. I like learning. Yeah, I like learning spiritual truth because it brings freedom and victory and blessing. I want to learn more, and I want to learn to be more like my Savior. One simple truth from Jesus can change your life forever. I remember in the late 80s, Carmen and I had been youth pastors for a while, and you know, sometimes it just, ministry is not all fun and games. Ministry can be hard. And I was just kind of burnt out from dealing with troublemakers and rebellious kids and just all kinds of stuff going on. I was just weary and worn out, burnt out. But we went to a youth pastors conference in Portland, Oregon. And our pastor was so gracious, you know, he paid, he probably knew I needed it, but he paid for everything for us to go to this conference. And there was the guy that put it together was a youth pastor. He'd been a youth pastor for 20 years. And as he was sharing truth from Scripture, he said, he talked about how, you know, you have these teenagers that are troublemakers and rebellious and just wild or whatever. And then he started talking about where Jesus looked out at the multitude and they were so scattered and just lost. And he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. That's the way Jesus saw those people. And I remember Wendell Smith, the speaker, he said, those teenagers, they're just sheep without a shepherd. They need a youth pastor. And it changed me. It set me free. It healed me. And it had such an impact on me, I have never been the same. I don't look at teenagers or people in general the same as I did before that day. And you see, one truth, one thing that you really learn from Jesus, it can change you forever, make you just a little more like Jesus. So, we need to be honest with ourselves and see if there's some indicators that we need to change. I want to give you five signs of an unteachable spirit. In other words, you're having a hard time learning. Here's the first one. It's chronic failure. Is there an area of your life you just can't ever get right? There's something that you need to learn in that area. You know, when you just keep having the same issues over and over, it's not everybody else. It's not all employers are bad. There's something you need to learn. That's an indicator that you're missing something. Don't be unteachable. Number two, an argumentative and defensive nature. Like nobody can tell you anything. You know, if you disagree, Proverbs 9:8 says, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. I mean, if it makes you really mad when somebody tries to help you and tell you the truth, sometimes we reject truth just because we didn't like the messenger. Okay, that's happened for me. Sometimes we just don't like the way it was done. Oh, man, I didn't want to think of that. I guess I'm supposed to share it. Many years ago, this young man came to me, and we've been in a great battle with things. This was at Grace, and I was here as pastor at this point, and just a lot of battles and struggles. And this young man came to me, and he said, you just don't have any joy. Well, I didn't like it. Number one, I didn't like who it came from. Number two, it wasn't done in love. I didn't like it. But part of the reason it bothered me as there was too much truth in it. I didn't have much joy. I had been so wrapped up in the battles and just dealing with stuff that, it just kind of gotten to me and got me down, and I just didn't have much joy. But I'm just saying to you that sometimes we become resistant to the truth, and we don't receive correction when we need to. Next, blame transference. That's where you blame other people for your problems. It started in the Garden of Eden with the very first sin, and Adam tells the Lord, "Lord, the woman that you gave to me." Listen, a lot of husbands have tried it. It never works, all right? Blame transference. And you can do it all kinds of ways. One of the ones that's big nowadays is my parents. But it could be my spouse, my employer. It can be the culture in general. It can be Hollywood. It can be the government. You can blame just about anybody. But here's the thing. If you're just blaming instead of accepting responsibility for your own decisions and your own life, you're not learning anything that way. Number four, you surround yourself only with people who agree with you. Oh, this one is well liked. In our culture right now, where everything is so divisive, and not just in the world, but even in the church world, if you are only around people that say things that you agree with and you already know, how are you learning from them? Sometimes you need to be stretched a little bit. Sometimes, listen, if you're right, it shouldn't mess you up if somebody shares something with you that isn't the way you think. And all I'm saying to you, listen, I'm not saying to open yourself up to crazy people, messed up people, but I'm just saying sometimes we need to hear some things. We need to learn some new things, not just surround ourselves and say things that we already know. You need to hear something you didn't know. Get around some smarter people. Just don't tell your friends that. Just the number one reason why people are unteachable is pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, pride goes before destruction because pride will keep you on the wrong path. It will keep you heading the wrong direction. Even though you're heading for trouble, you won't listen, you won't learn anything because your pride won't let you. Here's an interesting verse. 1 Corinthians 8:2. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. See, don't be a know-it-all. If you think you know everything, you can't learn anything. So, if we stop learning, you stop growing, stopped becoming like Jesus. If you have a teachable spirit, here's four things that we ought to have in our life. Number one, have a desire to learn. If you don't want to learn, if you're not desiring to learn, you're not going to learn much. You got to want this. And as disciples of Jesus, we ought to always be wanting to learn. You see this as an example in the scripture with the disciples. Jesus finishes praying and the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus tells a parable, and then when he's alone with the disciples, they say, "Lord, what does it mean?" They were always asking him questions. They had a hunger to learn more. And you see, we need to have that same kind of hunger, a desire to learn. Next, humility. James 1:21 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." In the NIV, it says, "Humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you." See, you just got to know that you don't know everything, and you need to be humble enough where you're trying to learn every day. And it's amazing to me how we can learn something in almost any situation if we're humble. In fact, we can learn from almost anybody if we're humble. I don't know about you, but I've learned things from a little child before. But you got to be humble. if you're really going to learn. Now, I'm just going to be humble for a minute. So don't beat me up. Don't take advantage of it. But I just want you to know that I don't know everything. I don't know everything about money. I don't know everything about marriage. I don't know everything that there is to know about being a pastor. But I want to learn. Now, that is not an invitation for you to come correct me and instruct me after the service. That's not what that is, see? But I am hungry. I do want to learn. I know I don't have it all together. I try to learn from other pastors, and I read books, and I go to conferences. I want to learn. And yes, I even try to learn from my critics. Psalm 25 and 9 says, "The humble, he teaches his way." Next, if we really want to learn, we graciously accept correction and instruction. Proverbs 9:8, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. You got to be willing to hear correction. And last, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 25:12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. You know, the fear of the Lord is to have this constant awareness that he's with you, that you're always aware of the presence of God. It is to respect and reverence him throughout your day. And you see, when we have the fear of the Lord, we are sensitive to him. We're not just barreling through our day doing what we think, but we are sensitive to him because we are aware of his presence. And so we're listening for the Holy Spirit to say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." We're ready for instruction all the time when you have that fear of the Lord. But without the fear of the Lord, we just end up doing it our way with never learning. Remember, we're not learning about religion. We're learning a way of life, learning how to really live from the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We're not just trying to learn some rules and doctrine. We're trying to learn to be more like Jesus. So how do we learn from Jesus? First, by being with him through the person of the Holy Spirit. We are listening for his voice. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." And so we need to be listening for that still small voice. Second, we learn by receiving the word of God. John 8:31, Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." You really are my disciples. You see, if we don't stay in his word, we're not really disciples. Because disciples are learners, they're students. We've got to be students of the word of God. And oh, how unpopular is this? Most believers, y'all just stay with me. Most believers will say it would be great if the Bible was taught in the school, but they don't think it's important enough for them to learn it themselves, much less teach it to their own children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says that you are to teach it diligently to your children. And I, as a grandparent, I don't want somebody trying to teach my grandchildren that they have to go to a priest and confess their sins. I don't want somebody trying to teach my grandchildren that believers don't lay hands on the sick. That's not for us anymore. I don't want somebody trying to teach my grandchildren that God doesn't do miracles. I don't want somebody trying to teach my grandchildren their false doctrine. But I do think that every parent ought to be teaching the Word of God to their children. And you need to be diligent about it. You want to know what the answer is for children being raised and growing up in such an immoral, ungodly time, it is that you daily, you talk with your kids. You know, this is what Jesus did with the disciples. It wasn't just when he stood up and taught to the masses. With the disciples, he addressed issues that they were dealing with right then. You see, when they argued over who could be the greatest, he instructed them, he taught them. And that's why you sit down at the dinner table with your kids, so you could talk to them about their day, and you teach them, you talk to them from the scripture. And you don't have to get your Bible out necessarily and quote a bunch of verses to them, but you need to be teaching your children the Bible. But here's the thing. We ourselves need to see it as something that is precious and so important to us that the Lord uses the scripture to speak to us. He uses the scripture to teach us. And third, we learn from watching him, from Jesus' example, and I'm speaking specifically and especially of the Gospels, where we see how Jesus lived and the things that Jesus did. He's our example, and he models it. And so we learn from him, we learn from what he did. He says, love one another. We get that. But look at the example of Jesus, that he laid down his life for his friends. And he says, you gotta forgive. Well, that's hard, Lord. He forgave all. He paid the price for everybody's forgiveness. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wants us to be servants, and he modeled it for us. He washed the feet of the disciples. The Son of God, the Word made flesh, he washed dirty feet. And then he says to the disciples, you go and do likewise. He modeled it for us. I'm telling you, we can learn from Jesus when you read the Gospels and you just see how he lived and how he treated people. You learn how to treat somebody that you know that's a terrible sinner. Somebody that got, maybe they got caught doing some terrible wrong. Jesus says to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He is our model. He's the one that we learn from. Learn from Jesus. Be a true disciple of Jesus and learn from him. Stand with me. We're going to pray. And I want our prayer partners to come.